Thank you very much. That's good. I always like a bit of quiet. So 22 years, you've got nothing to say? Marvellous. It's taken a while, but we are there. Good. We can have another chat in 22 years' time. You'll see me in the garage. Sorry? No, I won't get used to it. Okay, in all seriousness, wasn't last week amazing? Were you here? If you weren't here, you're fed up with people saying how amazing last week was, I'm sure. It was such a beautiful time of experiencing the Bible just coming alive in a different way. And we've been thinking about it all week and talking about it, how Jesus would respond, how Judas would respond, that moment when we as a church just began worshiping. It was an incredible week, and it was so good to have Martin here, and we're looking forward to the next time we can do that again. But this theme at the moment is actually that we took a break from last week, is who you say I am. Who you say I am. I started off, if you remember, with I'm a child of God. Then Nikki did I'm needed, and James did I am holy. They're big titles to follow. And if you have been looking online at today's YouTube clip setup, you'll know what I'm going to speak on. But it isn't like I'm a child of God, I'm needed, and I am holy. It is this. I am a sheep. It genuinely is. I am a sheep. And I want to speak on that today. And I know that many of you know that I had the misfortune of ill-advisedly dressing up as a pantomime donkey at the first time that the church leaders gathered together and I was introducing myself. So I'm a donkey would have been a great message, but no, I am a sheep. And when I told my mum about the title of this message, I said, Mum, I'm going to speak on I am a sheep. She was like, oh, I know you. You're going to dress up as a sheep, aren't you? And I thought, oh, that would have been so good. So I've been trawling the internet. I've been trying to find a sheep costume. I particularly liked one that was 45 quid. I mean, I couldn't do it in the end, but it was one where there was like a, you know, the ones where it looks like you're having a piggyback on a sheep and it's your legs. And you, that would have been so funny to do this message like that. And then suddenly I had a bit of inspiration and I realized that we've got our nativity costume dressing up box here. And so I did find a couple of things. I know that when I use the occasional prop, it can be helpful for people. You all like the fact that I carried a fence panel around. I know you do, because you tell me. So the problem with this particular sheep outfit is it was worn by my four-year-old daughter last year in the nativity. But if I put it on, you'll remember this message just a little bit more. You know, like your Friends episodes, the one with the tumble dryer or something? This will be the one where Pete had a sheep waistcoat on. Nikki, I know. Now, it's all right. It looks quite cool. No hat suit me, but I know that this one in particular doesn't work. And then this, I thought, was just a comedy moment. To have a little sheep on my head. Oh, look. Isn't that lovely? And I'm glad things are online nowadays, so it can be seen forever. I don't know that this bit will work, so I'll just stick with my lovely hat. There you go, Mum, if you're at home. I did it. I'm dressed as a sheep. This is very tight. Okay, so I am a sheep. When Jesus looked out and he saw the crowds, he said this. He saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's us, and that moved Jesus. That's pulling my head down too much. Shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So if you're new to church and you think, I'm a sheep, it's a bit of a weird thing, it's okay. It is in there. It doesn't mean it's not weird. But we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So why is it that David says that we are sheep of his pasture? Why is it that Jesus himself looked out and had compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd? There's things about us that are just like sheep. And so today I want to look at what it means to be a sheep, some characteristics of sheep. And I delved into this a little while ago, 8.5 years ago. So if you were here, you're like, gosh, I remember. But most people in this church weren't actually here 8.5 years ago. And I think it's really important that we look as to why the Bible would call us, beautiful people, sheep. So I'm going to look at a few things that we can find out about ourselves today from sheep. And what I'm hoping, here's my prayer, that one item is going to impact everybody's life. That's what I believe God wants to do. And it may be that there's more than one, but I don't want anybody to go away from here this morning feeling like none of that was for me. So I'm going to pray into that because I think that's really important. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you that you have put these words in my heart, and I just pray that I will speak your words to this beautiful family and to the beautiful family who are at home as well. That every single person will know that God spoke to them today. God met with them, encouraged them, and transformed them. Amen. Okay, so first thing about sheep that I want to speak on is that sheep flock. They like to do things together. They're not made to live in isolation. In fact, their only form of protection against predators is twofold. It's running away and it's flocking together. It is where they find their protection. And in fact, an isolated sheep doesn't last for very long. It's their numbers that protect them. And as followers of Jesus, Nikki, can I have some of his water, please? Nikki just whispered me a great question. I'm going to ask you. I mean, I can do it. She said, do you want to take the waistcoat off now? To which I said, no. Is anyone else not liking my look? Do you want me to, should I take the waistcoat off? Nikki, you said you had nothing to say. Should have stuck with it. Only joking. Only play. Okay. Yes. So as followers of Jesus, we are designed to flock. Okay? You are designed, I am designed to flock together, to gather, to do life together, to eat, to drink, to have fun together, rather than finding ourselves isolated, lonely, and cut off from others. And yes, it is true that some of us prefer to spend a bit more time on our own than we do in crowds of people and with other people and with family and friends, but we all need to be people who are surrounded by others and encouraged in our journey. We are made to flock and gather together, even if that's small groups. It's part of our design. Jesus had a group of disciples. He had his flock of 12. And when he sent them out, he did it in twos so that they weren't on their own. We're not designed to be on our own. And 3 days ago, this stat came out that says this: approximately 7.1% of people living in Great Britain, that's 3.83 million of us, experience chronic loneliness, meaning they feel lonely often or always. That is a lot of people in our society who are not able to flock together, and they are feeling isolated and alone. We as Jesus sheep, seeing a stat like that, don't just need to flock together, but we need to try to enable others to find their home with us. It's really important. It's not okay to say, well, I'm okay, I've got a small group and we're all happy together. There's a lot of people who are isolated. There's a lot of people who are lonely, and I know those two things aren't the same. But we, as the body of Christ, perhaps need to do a bit more to help others to find their home so that they can flock and they can feel protected, they can feel that they're loved, they can feel that they're not isolated. I put this little line in, it might stick in someone's mind, that I think God wants us to create choirs, not soloists. Let's be a people who create choirs and not soloists. Can we do that? Can we be deliberate about inviting others into our story, into our flock? Not just this one. Don't just say, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? What about the small, intimate relationships that you have, the ones that sometimes you want to close off and hold tight and not let anybody else into? Let's open them up. Let's allow others into our flock, because a lone sheep is a vulnerable sheep. In John 10, Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. And just before he says that, and just before it says that he lays down his life for his sheep, he says about the enemy that the enemy's mandate is to kill, to steal, and destroy. And he says of himself that he has come that we would know life in all its fullness. But the enemy comes to us to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. Later in 1 Peter it says, be alert. This is to us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Looking for someone, not for a flock. Can't take out a flock. It's horrible, isn't it, when you watch those programs on, you know, some kind of National Geographic or a BBC Wildlife thing or something, and you know that they're going to show an attack from a pack of lions, perhaps. And what do they do? They first of all cause panic. That panic causes a dispersal. Then the creatures get isolated, and there's one little baby zebra. You're like, oh no. And that's the one they target, and that's the one they take out. The enemy prowls around like a lion. He wants to cause panic in our hearts. He wants to cause dispersal. He wants to keep us separated. Maybe you're here today and you really didn't want to be here. Everything in you this morning was like, oh, I don't want to go. Oh, I don't want to go. Why is it in me that that's the enemy doesn't want you to be here? He wants you to be dispersed. He wants you to be separated so that he can prowl around, and then he can pick you off when you're isolated. The strength of the herd is incredible against the lions. Let's paint that picture just a little bit more. Seen films like Jurassic Park or any other film where you've got these armed soldiers who've been called in, and they are there to just walk through, and you know they're walking through maybe the jungle. By the way, never be at the back. Never be at the back, because everyone's walking along and suddenly it's like there was this little noise like pfft. And then the person at the back in the long grass is no longer at the back in the long grass. They have gone. And everyone's like, what's happened? Where have they gone? And I just imagine something like Jurassic Park. You know, you've got all these guys and they're walking through with their guns. And then one guy, for some reason, wanders off over here. You're watching it going, why are you doing that? We know your outcome in this film. And suddenly they, oh, there's a tree there. There's no toilets around. I think I'll just go to the toilet for a second here. Then they turn around and they're like, oh, I've lost everybody. And then Jurassic Park style, you suddenly get this sort of, oh, and thankfully there's a pond on the floor, and just in case you couldn't hear it, you can see the ripples. Oh, what's going on? And then you get some sort of brilliant moment, like a clever girl moment that happens in Jurassic Park. And all the people who are still together are just, you know, nicely protecting each other, and the one person who's got isolated is about to get picked off. Our enemy is like an iron, is like a lion, like an iron. Stand a bit further away. Oh, a lion. And our enemy hunts by causing panic and dispersal in us, and then he wants to pick us off. So let's flock. Let's do what we're designed to do. Let's stick together. Let's look out for each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up. We're designed for this. And contrary to popular opinion, sheep aren't actually stupid. I read an article, you wouldn't believe it, in Psychology Today about sheep. Okay, and it's not sheep psychology today. This is just normal psychology today. And it was entitled, Why Sheep Matter. They're intelligent, emotional, and unique. So as we go on this journey of sheep, please feel encouraged. You matter. You're emotional, some more than others. You're intelligent, probably some more than others. And you are unique. But that is not my second point. I don't want to go down the encouragement route like that for too long. What I want to say is this, that we are instinctive followers. Sheep are instinctive followers, and that can be a major strength for us, but it depends on who we're following. It really does. And I just want to ask you today, are you following Jesus or are you following the crowd? Are you following Jesus' way or culture's way? Big questions. I'm sure all of us in many ways would say both. Sometimes I think I'm following Jesus' way really well. Sometimes I definitely slip into following the crowd. So I've got some questions about following the crowd in case you can't really think that you might do it. We've all done it, I think. Laughing at a joke that we should have challenged. Oh, and everyone else is laughing. And so we just, even if we don't laugh heartily, we kind of smile and wish that the situation would change and go away. Joining in the negative talk rather than stopping it. Walking past the person in need, and we excuse it because everybody else is walking past. So that's okay. They've all made their decision to walk past. So I'm going to go with that crowd mentality, and I'm going to just walk past as well rather than getting involved, because it's hard to stand out. It's hard to stand out. We are natural followers. I was watching when I was preparing this, because I don't just do this stuff for fun, I was watching this psychological stuff on National Geographic TV, and there was two boards. One had three lines on it of different lengths, and then a second board over here had one line on it. And this line was the same length as one of the three on the first board. So there are 10 people come over, and they have to look at the first board, and then the question is, which of these lines is the same length as that one over there? And they look, no. A. And then they go and stand behind A. Now, the thing was that the first 9 people in the queue all said A because they were all actors. So they pretended to be deliberating, and then the 10th person in the queue, it was blatantly C. The answer was obviously C, and they'd come up and go, I think I'm just going to have, I'll go A, along with everybody else. And they, when they were questioned about why many of them did it, it was because they didn't want to stand out. They'd already felt stupid at school getting things wrong, and they didn't want to get things as simple as that wrong. They let everybody else make their decision for them. And it was really simple. They went on to do another thing about two restaurants, both excellent restaurants. The first person comes and they don't never been to either. They just make a decision based on the external stuff that's in front of them, and they go to restaurant A. When the second person comes along, they see somebody sitting in restaurant A. We've all done this when we go on holiday and we don't know where to go. There's somebody in restaurant A. So we make our decision not only based on the external stuff that the first person did, but then we look and we think, oh, well, they've obviously made an informed decision. We'll go there too. Before you know it, this restaurant's full. This one's got no one in it, even if it's the best restaurant. But the first person didn't pick it, and we are very, very good at following. And so the challenge is, who are we following? Who are we following? Who are you following? Who am I following? Let's follow Jesus. You may have seen this in the news in 2005. Turkish shepherds watched in horror as hundreds of their sheep followed each other over a cliff, says Turkish newspaper reports. First one sheep went over the cliff edge, only to be followed by the whole flock, according to reports. More than 400 sheep died in the 15-meter fall, their bodies cushioning the fall of the 1,100 that followed after them. 1,500 sheep kamikazed off a cliff because they're so good at following. The first 400 died, and then they became like a very fluffy mattress for the 1,100 that followed. I mean, in some ways it's funny. I'm not going to laugh in case you're the person who comes up to me afterwards and says that was inappropriate. You smiled. So here it is. Don't follow the crowd, Pete. That is terrible. It is a terrible story. And actually, it's even worse because that was a poor village and each family owned about 20 sheep, as the article went on to say, and that was really catastrophic for those people. And we think sheep are stupid then. Surely sheep are stupid. There's the evidence. They're not just unique, emotional and intelligent. They're a bit dense. Actually, they're just very, very good at following. So are we. So be careful, everybody, okay? So, flock. Follow. Who are we following? Because when we were at the youth event on Friday night, Aisha packed up Romans 12:2 for us that says this: don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, if we conform to the world's way, if we follow it wholeheartedly, because we're great followers, we are going to be conformed to the world's way of doing things. But if we allow Jesus to transform our minds, if we allow Jesus to transform our thinking and our understanding, then we're going to find it much more easily to follow him wholeheartedly. Who are you following? Now, this next one is just for fun. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, I like it when there's a bit more of a meaty message. I like a bit of meat in my message, you know, let's go deep. What they really mean is, can you speak a bit more like Paul and a bit less like Jesus? Because I think actually some of Paul's writings, like, what's actually happening here? I've really got to engage my brain, this is tough. Jesus's writings were very, very simple sometimes. Hey, you know what? The kingdom of heaven's like a pearl. This guy saw it, he loved it, and he sold everything he had to have it. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day. Think about that. You know, it's quite simple messages. And here's a very simple message, okay? This is a video, and this was first shown to me at LPO, so thanks to the guy who was using this clip. It's very funny. I could just say this to you. This could be the whole message. How do you relate with this sheep? Got to break free. That is a brilliant, brilliant clip. I absolutely love it. Would you like to see it again? Yeah, can we watch that one more time, please? Got to break free. God knows I want to break free. is. That's brilliant. You know, and that excellent verse in Proverbs, like a dog returning to its vomit is a fool who goes back to their foolish ways or to their folly. You know, it's that's brilliant, because I feel like God regularly rescues me from situations, only to find myself jumping straight back in the ditch again in the same way, you know, a slightly different way. So we flock, we follow. You may be like that one. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, and that is this, that sheep are stubborn and they don't like change. That's funny, isn't it? Because some of us can be like that too. So just to see whether we like change or not, here's a good little test. Could you pop your hand in the air, be honest? And I know, because I stand here and I look. If you are sitting roughly in the same area of the church that you normally do, please place your hands in the air now. Okay. So there are some people I can see who have dotted around and moved around the room. Congratulations. But very quickly, I mean, it even happens on holiday. You go to a holiday home, you've got this holiday cottage, you're on holiday as a family, you sit around the table once and that's it. That is your seat. That's where you're going to be for the rest of the week, because it's like, well, that's established now. I'm not going to be. We're not going to just flip that around every night. We get very, very established very quickly. You could try this next week. You could try and sit somewhere else and really throw yourself. I don't like sitting in different positions, by the way. I like to be in the front, wherever I am, apart from the cinema. I get so distracted doing the head thing, especially if I've got somebody in front of me who's a real mover. They don't know which buttock to go for, so they spend all their time flipping. And I'm just looking through the gaps. Drives me mad. So I like to be at the front, a bit of space, move to dark, you know, room to worship as well. But that's just me. But anyway, I'm just the same as all of us. We don't like change that much, and we can be really stubborn. And you know what? That's a really good trait in many ways. I think one of the reasons why the persecuted church thrives, and I have never been part of the persecuted church, but my speculation, my thoughts are that their people won't change their minds. No. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You can't shift me from that. There is nothing that will shift me, because like a sheep, I am stubborn and I'm going to hold on to that opinion. I'm not going to be swayed. And so it can be an absolute strength for us. But sometimes it's our shepherd who's trying to move us. That can be a problematic thing. If Jesus is the one who's saying, come on, it's time for you to change and to go in this direction. If we're then stubborn and we won't do what our great shepherd is asking us to do, that's where we can get into problems. We need to learn to trust our shepherd. I want to ask you this question. It's a big question. Do you trust him? Do you trust your shepherd? Do you trust him to guide your life? Do you trust him to bring about change when you'd rather not change? Because it's easy to say, I trust Jesus and I love Jesus. You know, big picture, this area of your life, he wants to shift you in it. Do you trust him to be the shepherd who can just allow you to be moved? Do I? Sometimes yes, sometimes no is my answer. We need to learn to trust our shepherd. So we're stubborn and we don't like change, and maybe today God is just knocking on you. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep die without a shepherd. They can't locate their own pasture, and they can't locate pools of water. Pasture and water, think Psalm 23. They can't locate that on their own. They need to have a shepherd to be told what to do, where to go. Otherwise, they wander off, they might get lost, or worse. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm a sheep and he's my shepherd. And he takes me and he takes you to pastures, and we need him to do it. We've got to remember as well, because it's very easy for us in our understanding of sheep. We think this picture. There's the Yorkshire Dales. He leads me to green pastures. Quite frankly, if you're a sheep out there and you can't find a green pasture, even if you get lost, there's a problem. But this is the landscape where Jesus takes us to green pastures. This is the landscape where he finds for us springs of water, refreshing life in very dry places. This is where he guides us along paths. This is where he walks through valleys with us. This is where his rod and his staff, they comfort and protect us. We need a shepherd. If you today are doing life without Jesus, can I just say really straight to you today, I believe you need a shepherd. I believe we all do, because we've been made like sheep. And we need each other and we need him. And then I just want to briefly look at a few things that a shepherd would carry. Because it says here, his rod and his staff, they comfort and protect me. And so we're going to start by looking at the shepherd's rod. What is it? Well, the closest thing I could come up with is this bad boy. Get in, my slogger. You know, I once had a... There was a thing when I was growing up that I always wanted. I think I may have told some of you. I always wanted to have all the sports gear. I wanted all of it. One year I said to my dad, Dad, can I have a hockey stick? He's like, why? You don't play hockey. I said, no, I need one for my birthday. Like, but why? Well, what if somebody ever comes around and says, do you want to go down the park and hit a hockey ball around and I can't do it? So he's like, okay. So I got a hockey stick, got the ball, I practiced forever in the garden. I got quite good at it. Nobody ever asked. What a surprise. Yeah, got a canoe. A kayak. Now I realise it's called a kayak. Had a kayak in my dad's alley outside his house for 3 years. I only ever sat in it on the grass. Hilarious. Then one day I got back and my dad said, I've got rid of it. I had to get rid of it. I didn't want it clogging up the alleyway anymore. Anyway, I've got this. Oh, why was I saying that? Oh, because, you know, just in case somebody says, do you want to play some softball? I'm obviously going to be good at that now. So here is my softball bat. And this is a bit like a shepherd's rod. Apart from when I look at pictures of them from Palestine in the time of Jesus, the end of the club was a bit more bulbous. A bit more maybe like a torch that you might light and hold in the air if you've seen those in films. It was a bit more solid at the end, a bit more weight in it. And then it says of early shepherds that some of them used to drive nails into the end of the club, the end of the shepherd's rod, to make it more of a lethal weapon. To defend against lions. And then I looked into lions. I was like, lions? What sort of lions are they? Mountain lions? You know, we're talking Palestine. There weren't actually like big yellow maned lions around. And as you look into it, there were until about 1200 AD. So there were lions. And if you look at artwork, they definitely were the full lions that we know. This Asiatic, apparently, this Asiatic lion that, you know, like a lion that we would expect to see if we went to the zoo. So there are big lions trying to take out the sheep. And it says that Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. And the shepherds, David, as we know, he used his sling when he killed Goliath. It said that he'd practiced those skills against lions and bears in the wilderness. So there are sheep here, there's a shepherd here, there's a lion there with a lethal weapon. You know, sometimes when table-turning Jesus offends us, we need to know that when Jesus prays for us, fights for us, is there for us, it's not all strokey-strokey. Sometimes he's tough. And some men need to hear that as well. That Jesus was tough. He was strong. He was gentle. He was kind. He was loving. He was incredible. But he was tough. There's the sheep, us. He stood in the gap. Obviously, he did at the cross. But a shepherd would have stood there ready to take on a wild animal that was coming against the flock with a heavy-weighted rod. Your rod and your staff, one of the versions of Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they comfort and protect me. The rod was the bit that was protecting. So know this about Jesus today, that he fights for you, his sheep. He protects us. The enemy prowls around like a lion. Sorry to be pointing that at you. The enemy prowls around like a lion, wanting to isolate us, cause panic, cause that dispersion, and then pick us off at our weak points. But our good shepherd has a rod, and he stands between the enemy and us, and he fights on our behalf. When we are defenseless, he is strong and able. So is there any situation that you find yourself in today that just feels a little bit too big for you. Feels like you're a sheep being attacked by a lion. Then I just want to encourage you this morning, know your shepherd. Know your shepherd. He stands in the gap. Draw close to him. Know his protection today. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because of what Jesus has done, we will overcome. And he continues to do battle for us. So know today that he is praying for you. He is praying for you. And he stands between the enemy and you with the rod of a shepherd. Says, you are not coming near my sheep. A sling was the second thing that a shepherd would have in those days. And we know that it was used for protection as well. A bit less hands-off, a bit like, you know, you have the archers first, not like the archers. Not those ones. You have the archers who would fire arrows from a distance before you got to the hand-to-hand combat. And so, you know, the sling was used for distance to get these wild animals away. But as it got close, the rod could be used. But the sling wasn't just used for that. I thought I'd have a go at attacking a vicious lion. Yeah, I know. This is going to be good. I don't want anyone to be scared. I've drawn a lion. And is it? This looks like somebody from Coming to America. There we go. So there's that. By the way, if you've seen Coming to America, I'm not saying you should. That's for sure. I saw it when I was a boy, and I now realize I shouldn't have. Okay, here we go. So, I'm going to try with a sling to take on this lion.
Come on, team. Can I do it? I don't even know why I'm trying.
Right, little lion, I've got my sling. Rats! I've got three more goes before I need my rod. Oh, no, Pete! Come on. Thank you. Just had the purple one left. Yeah, anyway, so there was a lion. So this thing could be used from distance. But actually, one of the things that's really cool about the sling is that, have you ever lost a ball when you were younger? It goes into a pond or something, and you need to get it back, and you can't quite reach. Oh, no, it's out of reach. Oh, we can't get it. And so you pick up rocks, we used to pick up rocks and, like, throw them the other side of the ball and try to get some waves to get the thing coming back. Now, that's how the sling would be used by the shepherd. He'd see one wandering off. There goes a little sheep. Where's it going? And he'd throw a stone just beyond the sheep, but startle it, and it would jump back and join the flock. That's quite cool. So the shepherd could use this sling just to bring some guidance and to bring some correction and to keep people together. So that's a really cool thing. And also, I think we know about shepherds. Where's that gone? I think we know about shepherds that they led from the front and not from behind. So our understanding of shepherds is that they are at the back, or normally with a dog, or maybe they're even on a quad bike, and, you know, the dog's rounding them all up. But actually, the biblical shepherd, I'm sure you know, used to lead the way from the front and would call his sheep. And I used to think that was quite strange, because it says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. And so actually, it's really cool to know that this is a true fact, that sheep learn the voices of their shepherds. Which is great, because when you've got loads and loads of sheep around, let's say Abraham stories, and there are loads of flocks from loads of different people, and they're all together, and then it's time to leave, how are you going to get your sheep and not everybody else's? What they used to do was call their sheep, and they would walk off, and the sheep would follow them. And I thought, that's incredible. I wish I could find something like that. So I found this test that was done. And so I've abbreviated it in this little video because it went on for quite a while. But there's a few people try to call the sheep using the language that the shepherd has taught them. And then the shepherd calls the sheep, and we can see how they know their sheep's voice. So I've only got one person calling here.
One more time.
Oh, one is...
Look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They are good.
love that. Isn't that beautiful? So that's how they would have done it. Loads and flocks together. One of the shepherds stands up, calls his sheep, and goes. And that's the relationship that Jesus wants with us. He wants to be able to just call our names. We know his voice, and we follow. Simple, but beautiful. We need to learn his voice. We need to spend time with him. They only know their shepherd's voice because they've heard it so many times before. So let me encourage you this morning to get to know your shepherd's voice as he tries to protect you with the rod, protect you with the sling, to guide you with the sling, and then finally the staff. You can imagine a bit like a shepherd's crook that, you know, you've seen pictures of. And this thing was used for rescuing the lost sheep. You could spin it around and hit things with it, but generally this was a rescuing maneuver to lift the sheep out of ravines, to get them out of thickets, to get them out of other messes, like the super sheep that was in that little gap earlier on. The good shepherd would go out of his way to bring the sheep to safety. We know that from the story of the lost sheep, don't we? The staff would pull the wandering sheep back into the flock. So when in Psalm 23 it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort and protect me, flip that around, your rod protects me, your staff, it comforts me, it guides me, it brings me back. The sling would also have been used. Maybe for you today, you're just wandering a little bit and you feel a Holy Spirit plopping of a stone next to you. You're like, okay, Lord, I know I'm going in the wrong direction. He doesn't want to yank you back. He doesn't want to, you know, get a lasso and break your neck. He just wants to guide you and say, there's a better way. There's a better way for us to live. So we're nearly there. Let's have a conclusion and see if any of these things are sticking with you this morning. I am a sheep, and you are too. I'm made to be part of a flock and to make room for others in the flock. I am an expert at following, but the challenge is who or what am I following? I can be stubborn and I don't like change, and that can be good, but it can be bad, particularly if you're being stubborn when Jesus is calling. I need a shepherd. Perhaps you haven't had one until today. And this could be the day. And remember, with the rod, he protects you. With his sling, he guides you. And with his staff, he rescues you from every situation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. You are the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. We thank you that you protect us. You guide us. You rescue us from every situation. And Lord, today I pray that we will learn something more about how it is to walk with you and to journey with each other. Lord, help us to be people who flock together well, who follow you, who are open to your guidance, who will be guided by you, led by you, without being stubborn. Help us if we struggle with change. Lord, thank you that you are there for us in every circumstance, even when we continually jump into the same mess and just keep returning to the same thing that we think we've broken free of, and then we're there again. Thank you that you never tire of rescuing us, that your love for us is vast. Lord, we surrender our lives to you again. And for those of us who perhaps didn't know that we needed a shepherd or have never invited you into our lives to lead us, to love us, to guide us, to rescue us, Lord, we open our hearts to you. Come and do what you want to do in our hearts this morning, I pray. Amen.